Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Daily Tech News Show is powered by you. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support. This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, June 12th, 2018 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
And from the Finnish offices, I'm Patrick Beja.
The Finnish offices. I love that. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Not finished.
Yeah.
Simply Finnish.
That was my joke.
Maybe also both.
And on the basketball team in high school, the coach would say, Merritt, you Finnish? And I'd be like, no, I'm Swedish.
Oh, my God.
Are
I'm going to remember that for my son so I can so my dad jokes can be on point.
Yeah, totally. Hey, Roger Chang, our producer, is producing the show today, but he's also chasing his daughter around the house or something. He's on child watching duty, so he is not in the show with us here. But hi, Roger. We know you're out there. Let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Let's do it. Starting with Instagram. Instagram shoppable tags will start appearing in stories. So like in the main feed, tapping the shopping bag sticker leads to more details and the option to purchase various things that you see in a photo.
Hmm. Interesting. Nintendo announced Super Smash Bros. Ultimate will arrive December 7th. Super Mario Party with multi-switch gameplay comes out October 5th, and Fortnite is available for free for the Nintendo Switch. It will support cross-play with Xbox One, PC, Mac, and mobile, but not PS4, which, by the way, is leading to weird things, like you can't link an account to your Switch if you've already linked into your PS4 and vice versa. That is shady.
Yeah, people are mad about that. Tesla CEO Elon Musk sent a memo to his staff announcing the company would lay off more than 3,000 workers. That's 9% of its workforce. Actually, I have that in reverse. He said we're going to lay off 9%. And that estimate is that's about 3,000, a little few, more than 3,000. It's an effort to cut costs. Musk said the layoffs are almost entirely in salaried positions, so they should not affect Model 3 production. Musk previously pledged that Tesla would reach sustained profitability by Q3.
So nobody who works on the Model 3 is a salaried employee?
Well, the factory floor staff are probably waged employees. Yeah.
The party is over.
Where it's just beginning. La Liga, the Spanish soccer league, has admitted its app accesses the microphone and GPS data of Android users. La Liga argues it asked for consent at the point of install or update, and that the microphone data it's receiving is code, not actual audio, and that the data is used to prevent illegal streaming of matches, something that the organization says costs, 150 million euros per year. So the app store has been downloaded, the app in the app store has been downloaded 10 million times and was updated with the functionality on June 8th.
So if you don't allow for the microphone access, people can stream to their heart's content.
I love how they're like, yes, we got your conversation, but it's just code.
Yeah,
we don't hear you divulging private secrets. We just hear code.
We just don't want to make sure you're not a pirate.
That's crazy. DRM, it never causes any problems. Let's talk a little bit more about a light of hope for me as far as standards go, Patrick.
DigiTimes reports that analog integrated circuit vendors told it that Apple is considering switching from Lightning to USB-C in its 2019 iPhone and iPad releases. Apple Insider notes a report in May suggested Apple might ship a USB-C charger with iPhones this year, but that would come with a Lightning to USB-C cable.
Now,
person with many dongles, I'm like, ugh, I've already solved this problem.
Yeah.
But it wasn't without headache.
I have many devices with USB-C. I have a Pixelbook. I have an Essential phone. I have a Nintendo Switch. I have a MacBook Pro. They all have USB-C. If I want to plug in my iPhone, I can't because it doesn't have USB-C. And it's got to the point where I look at it and I'm like, that just seems silly. Like, USB-C is about the same size. There can't be that many advantages to the proprietary port anymore. They ought to just switch. So this report gives me hope. But also out today is an article from Robert Triggs over at Android Authority talking about all of the downsides of USB-C, particularly that fast charging doesn't work the same way on all the cables and all the devices. Data compatibility is confusing. If you're trying to use it to carry HDMI or Ethernet, sometimes it won't work. It depends on whether the port is activated for that. All of these concerns are real. I don't think they are that different from USB-A, but it's that USB-C purports to say you won't need to think about cables anymore. It'll just be the one cable for everything.
It seems like this problem, while real, and he's not the first person to mention it, it could be solved relatively easily with some kind of labeling or uniformization, or it's not impossible to solve. And I still think USB-C is probably the right way to go.
Yeah, I hope that DigiTimes doesn't have a great record. Let's just be honest about predicting things accurately. We often say like, oh, this person has a really great – this DigiTimes does not. They're less than 50-50. So this may end up just being a bunch of hogwash, but I brought it up because of my desire to want it to be true. And I think what will likely be true is that the iPhones that come out later this year will come with a USB-C charger wall wart. So the cable you get in the box would be USB-C to Lightning instead of USB-A to Lightning like it is right now.
Oh, interesting. Because I would say at this point, anybody who has a newer iPhone and has to plug into their MacBook or whatever, it's like, we've figured it out. You can daisy chain it. Like, there are dongles. But the fastest charging is what I always want.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. Fastest.
Brad Sams at Throt.com says he has viewed content that shows Microsoft plans to release the next Xbox console, codenamed Scarlet, in 2020. Microsoft apparently describes Scarlet as a family of devices. So the speculation is, well, maybe this won't be just a console. Maybe it'll be a number of different kinds of consoles. Who knows? Sams also says Microsoft's targeting Q1 2019 to release the next version of the HoloLens, HoloLens version 3, codenamed Sydney. It's expected to just be lighter, have improved displays, and cost significantly less. So nothing surprising on the HoloLens front, except that, oh, we might see it in Q1. We don't know if it'd be a developer version or a consumer version. But what do you think of the idea of the Xbox, first of all, coming soon? 2020 is not that far down the road as consoles go, Patrick, but also being a family of devices.
Well, Microsoft did mention that they were working on their next console in the E3 press conference. So that is probably a little hint that it's not super far off. Working on it, they want to turn the page on this generation. They have sold a lot less than Sony. They're in an unfavorable position. They want to move along. The family of console thing could mean anything. So I'm not going to speculate too much. It is consistent with the idea that Microsoft wants the Xbox to be multi-form. They already have their games on the Xbox, on the Xbox One X, and on PC. So it wouldn't surprise me that something like a family of consoles would be in their plans.
Yeah, it could be something as boring as just, you know, there's a 4K version and an HD version or something like that.
Yeah, maybe not HD, but
deep red in color. Why else call it Scarlet?
Or Black Widow.
For that. Vivo announced its new phone Nex, which it claims, quote, fulfills the bezel-less dream. Okay. Like Vivo's Apex phone that we saw at CES, the Nex has a pop-up selfie cam, so that means no notch. Vivo also uses screen soundcasting to replace the earpiece's speaker and an in-screen fingerprint sensor. The screen-to-body ratio is 91.24% due to a very slight chin at the bottom. Maybe we could call it a receding chin. I don't know. Beyond the 6.59-inch OLED display, it has a Snapdragon 845 processor, 8 gigs of RAM, a 4,000 milliamp battery, 256 gigs of storage. Will be available in China for 4,998 yuan, which is about US $780.
91.24 is not entirely full screen.
It's pretty darn close, though.
It's close.
But it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 10% still not screen. I'm just saying.
But yeah, I know what you're saying. It's the biggest yet. And at least it is a almost bezel-less phone, unlike the ripoff that we got from earlier this month. I think was it Lenovo that was like, it's going to be a bezel-less phone. And it turned out it had a notch.
It was Lenovo.
I don't know about the bezel-less dream. I don't know if that was something I was that worried
are
about.
Are we all wanting the bezel-less dream? Like, is this something that people are like...
It
Once
kind
we
of
get rid of that bezel completely, we're really in business.
I think it's sexy. It is sexy. It looks nice.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
It's kind of
call
that
it
form
a
factor
dream.
That you just want to be
right.
Achieved.
I wouldn't call it a dream. Valve announced its plans to launch Steam in China in partnership with Shanghai-based Perfect World. Steam is accessible in China on an unofficial basis, but recently some portions of the service were blocked. Partnering on an official launch will let Valve avoid blocks and better localize and promote the service. Valve did not say how it will handle approving games for launch on its Chinese service and did not announce a launch date.
Yeah.
China is a big market for games, and they are very PC skewed. So I think Valve is looking at China with very big dollar signs in their eyes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. On the other hand, Valve also just made a big deal how it's not going to curate content in its store anymore. That's not going to fly in China. And maybe that's the role of Perfect World, perhaps, is Perfect World decides what goes into the store. Steam just provides the infrastructure for it. I don't know.
Yeah, they're not the first ones to partner with a Chinese company.
Oh, no, that's the standard. Actually. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. It's legally mandated that, you know, so.
In fact, most, even outside of gaming, most tech companies are partnering with Chinese companies just to make regulations easier. Right. Things like data storage and stuff like that. All right. Journalists at the summit in Singapore between the United States and North Korea were given a USB-powered fan as part of a gift bag from Singapore's communications ministry. The bag also included water and a guidebook. It was hot in Singapore, so this all makes sense from that perspective. Temps were reaching 33 degrees Celsius. That's about 91 Fahrenheit. Almost every security researcher on the planet cried out at once, though, don't plug that into your laptop, after reporter Harold Dornbos tweeted a picture of the device. Because, hey, you know what people do with USB? They embed malware in it and then hand them out for free, hoping you'll plug it into your computer.
Yeah. Are you dying of heat exhaustion? Here, have this malware.
This malware will cool you right down.
It's funny because it's exactly the kind of thing that you don't really see coming until someone tells you, and then you're like, holy poop, I was so dumb to do it. Like,
yeah,
it was
because
so
you're tired and hot, and you're like, oh, yeah, I absolutely want to have that fan. Now, here's what I would say. If you're someone who travels a lot and you get a lot of these USB devices as a swag, I'm not sure that everybody does, but if you're like, I would like to have the option to use that microfan without getting malware, $3, you can get yourself a little power-only extension cable that allows you to plug anything into your computer, and it gets powered, but it won't transfer any data.
Yep.
That's just good advice if you're a Singapore journalist.
Or a journalist. Yeah.
Or a tech journalist at yet,
or anyone.
Yeah,
anyone really.
Don't. Next time you get a free USB device, think again.
Yeah, You know, it's like you don't get into the car of someone you don't know who stops in the streets and offers to give you a ride.
Stranger danger for USB.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Strange USB danger.
All right, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to Daily Tech Headlines, available on the Anchor app and on the Amazon Echo and the Google Home, and of course at dailytechheadlines.com. E3, of course, about to start, which means it's almost done as far as the announcements. Like, did the doors open today? Is that right?
I think it's today.
For the conference, yeah.
And the press meetings and briefings started on Saturday already. So for journalists around the world who aren't at E3 physically present, it's done. We already know everything we want to know.
Well, Patrick's going to take us through some of the highlights. What were the standout moments of the E3 press season so far?
So I've selected three different little topics, which aren't necessarily the gamer-centric topics, but I figured the DTNS audience might be interested in those. If you want gaming-specific, we'll talk about that later. There are other avenues. But the first one is the fact that both EA and Microsoft have announced they are working on a streaming service, video game streaming service, which we've mentioned here with Shadow and OnLive and over the years many times. Ubisoft president Yves Guillemot also mentioned that he believes this technology will be major in the next few years. And this is interesting in itself already, because that's a technology that is developing and we've been around it many times in the tech industry. But also it has a really unexpected consequence for developers and publishers. If these technologies do take off and the infrastructure allows many gamers to enjoy them in the next few years, that means that developers don't really need console manufacturers anymore. The console manufacturers are kind of the gatekeepers right now. You have to be on their console, on their publishing platform, in order to reach your customers, the gamers. If you have your own streaming service, then of course you need the infrastructure, but you don't need to go through the very expensive and complicated business of manufacturing a device and selling it to a consumer. You can just embed your app in a TV or an app.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. This podcast is supported by Tools and Weapons, the podcast hosted by Microsoft Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Right now, on a special edition of Tools and Weapons, Brad Smith is sharing a vision for what Microsoft calls the new AI economy. It's an idea rooted in technological revolutions of the past, like the printing press, which created a vibrant marketplace of related innovations, ultimately leading to an explosion of books and readers. But he doesn't just give a history lesson. In the episode, Brad lays out the tangible ways that Microsoft is providing infrastructure and other support to those leading the charge of the new AI economy. And he explains the importance of using that infrastructure to ensure equitable access to AI to people all over the world. To stay current on insights from voices at the center of the conversation on AI, Follow or subscribe to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you like to listen.
Platform or TV box, and you have access to your customers straight away. And that seems like a huge motivator for big publishers to go ahead and try to develop this. It makes things immensely more easy for them.
Yeah, I can see where Microsoft and Sony can say, like, well, we'll just become streaming service providers, right? Sony already does it, and Microsoft's doing it. That then we'll still have that curation aspect, and we can still get exclusives on our stuff. But EA can say, well, why would we need that? As long as we can make our streaming service apps available on the general platform, that's less development time than having to make multiple versions of each game, I would think. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But instead of saying, oh, well, now I have to make a PC version and an Xbox version and a Sony version and a Nintendo version, you just make one version and put it on your own streaming service.
And it looks amazing no matter your hardware. And it even goes farther. We've seen Capcom in Japan experimenting with streaming for individual games, meaning instead of selling you a game, they rent you the access to this for a cheaper price for a few months, and they can have that available on any platform. We've seen Resident Evil 7 available on the Nintendo Switch, which is not powerful enough to run that game, and it's just a 50 megs download, and you stream the game from their service.
Now, at the high end, let's just say the esports end, right? That's the end that pays the most attention.
That's not going to work.
That's not going to work. So does that influence developers to say, well, we really want to be part of that esports crowd because that gets us a lot of promotion and status and brings in money? I guess we should still make it for platforms.
It depends how it's going to evolve. I think it's still a little bit murky at this point. Infrastructure might evolve that so that it's possible. Mm-hmm. A side note, it's not exactly the same thing, but EA also announced the Origin Premier Access, which is basically a subscription service similar to the Microsoft Xbox Game Pass. You pay them a certain amount, and you have access to the entire library of games, just like a streaming service, except you install the games on your device. That's on PC for EA at the moment. A lot of people have been saying, oh, another subscription service, that's how many do we have to pay for? But if you're a core gamer, let's say you buy one game a month. One game a month is $60. Let's say those services are $10 a month. You could subscribe to six of them, or let's say five of them, and save $10 a month and have access to all of the games of all those publishers, because that's how they work. So I think a lot of people are underestimating the value of those services for core gamers who buy a lot of games.
Well, you know, if you compare this to cord cutting for, I don't know, you know, Rokus and Apple TVs and what have you. If you in a similar vein, it's like, well, services like Netflix have original content, right? Or Hulu or Amazon or I don't
or know. Or HBO, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's not really hardware, you know, specific. Mm-hmm. And hasn't been for some time. And I think the gaming world is trying to navigate how that works.
Yeah.
Because then at this point, as you're mentioning, Patrick, it's like, okay, well, if you kind of make the same game, you could play it on a lot of different devices, then it turns into like, what's the best hardware device? And then it turns into a conversation of, well, I don't know. I mean, what is the best? Is it price? You know, is it the layout? Is it, you know, all of these things that I know I think about when I'm looking at content. Mm-hmm.
On the one hand, it sheds a little light on the idea that Microsoft might have a family of devices, because maybe they'll have some Roku-like versions. Like, you just want to stream? Here you go. Buy this version of the Xbox. But I think what you're about to bring up, Patrick, might also be a reaction to this idea.
Well, Microsoft announced that they are going to, well, they have actually purchased a lot of studios, because the big drawback of the Xbox this generation has been exclusive games. They haven't produced enough compared to the PlayStation to make the system appealing to many gamers. And that's why they've been falling behind sales-wise. So they've purchased five studios. This is like the crazy shopping list. The problem is it's probably not going to have an effect this year, and maybe not next year. But this is absolutely what Microsoft needed to do, especially if we're heading into a future where streaming services are the norm. Maybe not now, maybe not 5 years from now, but 10 years from now, they need a library of game that is exclusive and appealing to gamers.
Or if it's not exclusive, they get all the money from it. Yeah, exactly.
Right. So this is a really big deal, and it shows a commitment for Microsoft to gaming. And the last one I wanted to mention is, I mean, there are many things that we could talk about, but Sony showcased The Last of Us Part 2 in their press briefing. And last time they showed it, a lot of criticism was leveled at the game in the way it portrays violence. The game was extremely violent in a visceral and, quite frankly, disturbing way. People noted that and weren't necessarily happy about it. So you might have thought that Naughty Dog, the developer behind The Last of Us, would maybe dial it back a little bit. Well, they kind of doubled down on it. And the gameplay footage they showed was extremely violent in a way that is somewhat disturbing, even for gamers, which leads to an interesting point of reflection. Games, there have been violent games forever, and in many games you walk around and blow up zombies and kill enemies and spray blood all over the place.
Right, yeah. Run over people, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. But it never feels, I don't want to say it doesn't feel real, but it doesn't impact you at all. You don't think about
it. It's a game. Yeah.
Right, it's a game. This one pushes it in so far in this specific way that it kind of artistically seems like, we'll have to see how the game actually turns out and the context and all of this, but artistically it makes the person experiencing this game kind of revile the idea of being the vector of that violence.
I know spoilers. I know it's a game. It's a little different than movies, but how does that happen? Because I think a lot of the argument, people are saying like, oh, games are violent, making kids violent, is that it takes away that, sort of empathetic part of you that might feel this way, which is what you're describing.
Yeah. So I think that's philosophical, or maybe I'm not necessarily qualified to talk about this specifically, but I think you don't consider it violent because you understand it's a game. In this one, it's artistically and the way it's brought to you, you know it's a game, but it still feels like you don't want to do it. It's the best way I can describe it. Okay.
Even though it's zombies, right?
It's in this case, it was against humans. The game also has zombies, but here it's humans. And it's portrayed very... they are very talented developers, so it's very skillfully portrayed in a way that makes you feel so you don't necessarily want to do it. And so in because of that, if you have to do it, you have to do it, you do it because you really have to, which is a very interesting gaming experience, which I don't think we've ever really had. And we'll have to see where it goes. But it's how can I put it? I guess it's an interesting way of creating this piece of art to get you into the experience of what inflicting violence actually is, as opposed to doing it as a game for fun. So that was a really interesting.
That is fascinating.
Yeah,
very much so. Good stuff from E3. Ever thought-provoking anyway. Hey, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You help us choose our stories and figure out a little bit more of what you like to see. Submit stories and also vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. If you prefer Facebook, or if you want to hang out in both places, all good with us. Facebook.com/group/dailytechnewsshow.
You can even send us the email and we'll open them and read them sometimes on the show.
True story, Tom. In fact, Rob, who describes Australia right now as pleasantly wintry, has some thoughts on our Airbnb Japan story from last week. which is probably fitting because I think there's a lot of cross travel that goes on between the two countries. Rob says, I'm heading to Tokyo next week, booked an Airbnb 4 months ago. I've been communicating with the host in the last month. It's all fine. And they said there was no cause to worry. Everything was going to be certified before my trip. I woke this morning to three emails and a text message from Airbnb saying my reservation had been canceled. Cannot get a response from the host at this point. Airbnb refunded my money, though, gave me a voucher equal to the cost of my original rental to apologize. I booked one of the seven remaining certified Tokyo Airbnbs available during my stay because, of course, they're waning. And with the voucher, I ended up saving about $30 Australian bucks per night compared to my canceled booking. Airbnb also gave me a US $100 voucher for an experience, which I'm using for a walking food tour.
Nice.
All in all, Rob says, really stressful, sucked. The host was lying, or at least it seemed that way to Rob. But kudos to Airbnb for essentially doubling my refund and giving me an extra experience for free.
Oh, well, it's a story that usually would end up with them vilifying the company. But instead, they're like, wow, yeah. Company did good. Well, good job, Airbnb.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, enjoy your walking tour. Let's hear about it.
And then Nathan wrote in and said, I've had the pleasure of volunteering with the Able Gamers. They're a nonprofit that works to encourage game developers to include accessibility in their design process. They also help develop controllers for people with specific needs. According to their blog, they have been working in secret with Microsoft to develop the Xbox Adaptive Controller. Whenever I have the money or time, I always throw support their way. Their founder is very approachable. Maybe he'd even be willing to come on DTNS and talk more about the details of the controller. Thank you, Nathan, though. You can go check it out, ablegamers.org.
And we've talked about Able Gamers, as far as certain accessibility settings on the show before. So, yeah, very cool. Thanks to everybody who writes in, participates in our subreddit, but also extra special thanks to Patrick Beja, who was not here last Tuesday. So
we missed you.
So nice to have you back. What's been going on?
E3 has been going on. This has been a little bit crazy. We usually cover the conferences live with our good friend Scott Johnson. And if you're interested in gaming, we actually did a wrap-up episode of our Boop and Pixels shows. You can find it on the Pixels feed and on the Boop feed. So if you want to know exactly what happened, what we thought, hour and 45 minutes of gaming, go check out the Pixels Boop episode. And we are going to try to do a DTNS Labs games before the end of the week. It will be a shorter, like 20, 30 minutes highlights of the conference, but if you want the full thing, Pixels is the way to go. So go check that out at frenchspin.com or just look for Pixels on your podcast app.
Excellent. Hey, you know what keeps us being able to all do this? Patreon.com/DTNS. That's the place where we get the majority of our support. And big thanks to everybody who supports us. We're always looking to have at least one more patron than the month before, and that could be you. You could be the hero that gets us over the line at patreon.com/DTNS. And also, don't forget, we've got Born Ready t-shirts, the official slogan of Patrick Beja that you could wear on your chest. I've seen them in real life. They look great. And if you want to pick one up, you go to dailytechnewsshow.com/store and you could make one yours. It would show up in your home and you'd put it on your body and wear it and feel like as cool as Patrick.
Any Almost. Feedback, questions, all sorts of good stuff, send them our way. We love to hear what you think. Feedback at dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC. If you can join us live, great. Find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
We'll be back tomorrow with special guest Charlotte Henry. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.